Welcome to Decoding Distance Learning, a podcast for preschool through 12th grade educators created during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm your host, Erica Zimmer. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is episode number 2. And today's episode, we are going to examine the impact so far on teaching and learning during the COVID pandemic. Here in Vermont, we are in the middle of our 8th week of distance learning, and I have to say that our teachers are rocking it. Our teachers found out on a Sunday that our schools would be closed by Wednesday. They had 2 days to try to prepare while still teaching their regular load. We are now 2 months in, with about a month left, give or take, and certain things have started to emerge during my conversations with teachers. I'm an instructional coach, so my job is to try to support teachers as best as I can through this sudden and traumatic switch to distance learning. And I have to say, I think this is absolutely changing the landscape of education. And I'm already seeing that here in rural Vermont. It's like we are in this massive global experiment, and if there was ever a time to make changes, it would be now, while everyone is still experimenting and collecting data. So I've started collecting my own data. I know it's not very scientific. My sample size is pretty small, but I surveyed teachers, parents, IT professionals, coaches that all work in the education world here in Vermont, and I got about 60 individual responses. I asked them to share with me what they're noticing is the silver lining, the golden nuggets of distance learning, and I started to notice trends. I invited some of those educators who responded to the survey to a lunch and learn that I host. And so this episode is about those golden nuggets. To start us off with this conversation, we have Courtney.
All right, I'll start.
Courtney is a 4th grade teacher.
So I think the positive so far that's come out of remote learning is we've had a few. I've been in contact a lot with the parents over these last couple of weeks and just asking them to tell me their feedback on the whole process, what's working, what's not working, how can I help you and your child better. So I think the biggest positive feedback I've gotten from parents is organization is important to them at the elementary level. So how as teachers we can support their children to be independent and support their children to kind of be able to create, to go through their assignments and things on their own and have that direct contact with the teacher and kind of take the pressure off of the parent to teach the child. So that's been important to them. And then the positive that I've seen over the last couple of weeks is, so I do morning meeting 3 times a week from 9:30 to 10, and I have the majority of my class show up every single time. And it's not academic. We don't really incorporate a lot of academics into it unless like it's through a game, but it's mostly just like checking in with each other, playing a game together. On Fridays, we do a bigger activity like a scavenger hunt or a talent show, things like that. And I think that's just been really positive for kids to have that time to come together and to meet and to take academics out of it. And I think the positive that we can kind of remember from this whole experience is that we have a whole child that we need to teach. In remote learning, it's very easy to kind of just be like, oh, assignment, 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 and forget that there's a child we're pushing that work out to. And kind of keeping that in that back of your head of how are we fostering those positive relationships and how are we still working during this time to work on those. And I think that's kind of the biggest takeaway I've had from this is that even when the child's not face-to-face, they're still craving that relationship. They're still craving that community. And how can we give them that chance to still continue to work and build on that?
Relationship building was a common thread in my survey that just kept popping up. Many teachers already know how important community building is inside of the classroom, that, you know, much of what they already do is fostering those relationships because studies show that students will learn better, put in more effort, feel more comfortable asking questions and so forth if they have a relationship with their teacher. But in the distance learning environment, teachers have to work so much harder at it. However, it also has allowed them to connect with students like they have never been able to before. Here's Alina elaborating on that. She's talking about the relationships she's developed with students that she couldn't do before.
So for those of you who don't know, I teach high school science. So one is, again, with the relationship building piece. When we're in person, like I know myself, I'm an extrovert. A lot of teachers do tend to be extroverts. We kind of get drawn to that in the profession, but there's also a lot, you know, tons of kids and teachers who are introverts. Being in this environment has allowed me to connect with my introverted students more deeply than when we're in the classroom because of the amount of extra one-on-one time that we can have where I can really get to know them and their interests more, because in the classroom, they're less likely to speak up. You know, they'll participate the amount that they need to, but when it comes to some of their personal things, they're not going to share it as much. Whereas one of my very shy introverted students gave me an entire tour of her gecko terrarium in her room the other day, which was awesome. And like, let me get to know a whole new animal loving side of her, which was really cool. Another piece I put down was that, again, with that kind of one-on-one piece there, though it's still a lot and it's still challenging, the one-on-one sessions that I'm able to do with struggling students or with students who, you know, have accommodations and need different types of lessons and whatnot, they've actually been extremely successful with that. And they're actually making bigger gains in some areas now than when we're in the regular classroom, because I can give them so much more one-on-one time than when I have a room with 15 kids. I can't spend that much time one-on-one with each of them. Whereas now the faster learners can fly through things as fast as I can post them. And the ones who need more individual instruction, I can actually give that to them now, which is pretty cool. Another one, anyone else who works with high schoolers or probably more middle schoolers, don't have to deal with classroom management right now. So that's kind of nice. Even when we're doing group meets, it's just so different. And I'm not doing ones with an entire class at once. I'm doing them in smaller groups. So it's been very easy to manage. And then kids who easily get distracted by their peers are getting their work done more efficiently because they don't have their peers right next to them to chat with the whole class period. So they're actually getting their work done faster. I'm also having more contact with parents.
This is another theme that kept showing up in the survey from both teachers and parents, that there's a lot more communication going on between them. Teachers are saying they see parents being way more involved in their child's education than ever before, probably because they're locked in the home together and cannot escape each other. But parents are also stating they feel more informed about their child's learning in school. There are so many studies out there that show there is a direct correlation between parental involvement and student success or performance in school, which might be why many teachers are seeing an increase in the quality of work and the frequency at which students turn in or complete their assignments. Here, Alina continues.
Though I've been sending out more stuff, I've seen also increased amounts of parents reaching out to me, which has been an awesome experience, because normally when I send out something to all of the parents of my students, I'll get the same couple of people will reply. Now those same people reply, but I'm also getting extra replies from parents I don't normally hear from, which is great. I wasn't expecting this, but I actually now have less students who have like missing work or are behind than when we're in normal school. I mean, it partly we're giving less work now than we do when we're in school, but the less work that I'm giving them, they're taking seriously and getting it done. And finally, I put down that I also have more time to talk to colleagues because our schedules are so much more open and flexible. So when there are student issues, it's easier for us to set up a meeting right away to try and address it rather than have to find a space where we have common prep or we're all available after school. It's just so much easier to schedule things right now. around all of those types of things that we normally want to be able to meet about, it's easier to do now. So,
next up we have Sarah.
I mean, I work in the same building as Alina and we share a lot of the same students. And I'm seeing some similar things to what she's seeing. But additionally, the thing that's been really cool for me is that some of my kids who would normally just kind of sit in the classroom and be passive and have a question but wait for somebody else to ask it or just wait for me to notice that they're not doing anything and go find out what's going on, they've been reaching out through Google Chats to get help like right away as soon as they have a question. So I'm seeing a lot higher quality work from them and it's getting done in a more timely manner because they're not just like, they can't just wait for somebody else to figure it out for them. They have to do it.
This idea kept popping up a lot in the survey. Teachers are stating that students are demonstrating enhanced self-advocacy, more proactive communication skills, and that this new way of learning is forcing students to gain a stronger skills around time management, organization, communication, and motivation. Are you also noticing an improvement in quality? Like now that they don't have so much work, are they doing better work on the assignments that you are posting?
Oh yeah. I mean, some of them are still asking for some of the same handholding that they do before, but I'm able to kind of anticipate where they're going to need more help and post extra resources. So some of them are still needing a lot of extra support, but a lot of them are able to kind of be more independent.
Next up, we have Barb.
Hi, everyone.
She teaches sixth grade math and science.
Biggest takeaway for me is I've learned a lot of new technology that I haven't had a chance to learn in the past.
This was a huge part of the survey. I got so many answers back regarding the increased use and confidence in using technology. Now there are teachers who before had resisted technology. Are some of our ed tech stars. Here Barb elaborates.
And things I've wanted to use in the regular classroom, but I feel like there's never time during, you know, the normal school year, but I've learned a lot of tools that I'm planning on using, you know, obviously not to this extent, but when we do get back to the physical classroom, I am planning on using, you know, some of the tools that I have learned here. Also, it's kind of an eye-opening experience. Some skills that I'll be needing to teach to future students should something like this ever happen again, like how do you send an email? I never thought I had to teach that, but some students, they are writing their whole message in the subject line or no subject and their subject and, you know, so just kind of realizing some different things that we need to teach in the, you know, to our students. Also like with Google Chat, you know, things that I just assumed they would know how to use, but I'm learning that those are skills that maybe we should be teaching. Some other things, this kind of goes back to the social emotional piece, but every morning we do a Flipgrid message and they're mostly, you know, a prompt and a lot of them are, you know, more casual topics. Like for example, the one I set up for tomorrow morning is what good movie recommendations do you have for us? Or we've done things where they share something from their house or family or whatever. So I'm learning a whole lot more about my students that I didn't know up until this point. Oh, and I can go to the bathroom whenever I want.
Next up, we have Patty, our occupational therapist.
So I think what I have to say echoes a lot of what's already been said. For me, working mostly with kids with special needs, I think going back to the connection piece, like in the beginning, I actually have parents who have kids with pretty significant needs. And the thought of being home without support and taking care of those kids who require one-to-one attention 24/7. Maybe not 24, maybe they sleep at night, maybe they don't though, was very overwhelming. And so even just some online time with a mom who maybe one parent was working outside of the house, one is a single parent, even just that connection for the parent was intensely important. And also just understanding from a family-centered care approach, which is definitely an occupational therapy concept, but you know, what does the family need? What does the child need in the context of the family environment? And how can we, I have, you know, kids, I'm online with kids who have other siblings at home. And so helping parents find a balance between working with a child with significant needs, plus still making sure their other kids are getting, you know, the attention that they need. My analogy is, I think the whole thing segueing into my next point was I'm seeing a huge uptake in offers for support with assistive technology, because it's not really optional right now. It's a need. And so I call that the equivalent of like, when you're learning a new language, you immerse yourself. So it's the immersion model of technology. Like it's all you can do because you have to do it. and so just feeling, and for myself included, like I have had kids that I've wanted to get technologies up and running for, and I just had not really taken the time to do it. Not making excuses, but like everybody else, you know, time gets away from us. And so really stepping up my game in that respect has been great. And so I have found some silver linings, but I also cannot wait to get back to school and see kids.
And lastly, we have Katina.
Let's see. Can anyone hear me?
She teaches elementary music. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I agree with a lot of what everyone's saying, and I totally agree with about justifying the new tech that we could all have the time to use now and the ability to use and the free subscriptions to use, which was huge. And then a lot of my positives have to do with me, not necessarily with the kids or anything, but I have hot coffee, my second cup, and it's still warm and it's amazing. And my commute is the best. I moved away from my home district or from my school district, and I've come a new house, and my commute is still even shorter, so that's really awesome. And I just have a couple of kiddos that I didn't expect them to shine, and they really have, so that just makes me so proud of them and happy for them that they can do that. And then Erica, I really appreciate this opportunity that gives us a chance to be positive, because a lot of times it's hard to be positive about all of this without feeling really guilty. So it's been really nice to think about positive things and not be guilty about it.
Yes, it is okay to feel okay and to see the good in all of this. I know trying to stay positive and to see these golden nuggets is what's keeping me going. So much of what the people had to say in the survey was around these positive changes in relationships with students and families, that their teaching practices have changed for the better, with some even stating they will not go back to their old way of teaching, that collaboration time with colleagues makes this bearable and that they're able to provide more services to students because of it, and that students are participating more, turning in higher quality work, and submitting assignments more frequently than before. Who would have thought that? I thank you for tuning in today, and please share with me your golden nugget.